At Market District, we believe in the power of great taste, like juicy heirloom tomatoes, cheesy house-made pizza, and fresh artisan-made bread. From produce to meats to chef-made meals, discover great taste at Market District.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
At Market District, we believe in the power of great taste. So here's a little taste of all the delicious possibilities. Juicy, hand-picked heirloom tomatoes. Seared certified Angus steak over aged cheddar mashed potatoes. Or how about fresh dough stretched by hand for every house-made pizza? Is your mouth watering yet? From produce to meats to chef-made meals, discover great taste at Market District.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Today on The Grave Talks, inside the Savannah Paranormal Museum, a conversation with owner Chris Soucy. Savannah has never been shy about its ghosts, but the Savannah Paranormal Museum takes that legacy further, giving the city's haunted history a home of its own. Owners Chris Soucy and Megan Jones have curated more than 150 objects with unsettling stories attached to them. Some came from private collections, some from investigators, and many from people who brought something innocently into their homes, only to realize it wasn't as harmless as it looked. These artifacts carry energy, memory, and mystery, and together, they form a collection that challenges visitors to decide what they believe for themselves. Today on The Grave Talks, we talk with Chris Soucy about the objects that refuse to stay silent, the experiences they've witnessed firsthand, and why giving people permission to explore their fears may be the most powerful part of all. So Chris, thank you so much for joining me on the show tonight. I was very excited when I came across the Savannah Paranormal Museum, and I reached out and you graciously agreed to join me today. So thank you very much for taking the time.
Yes, absolutely. Now, thank you for inviting me.
You're very welcome. You just opened this museum in May.
That is correct. Yes, we launched in May of this year.
I'm just guessing here. You must have had an interest in the paranormal before you decided to open this museum.
Oh, yes. I have had a lifelong, I'm not going to call it an obsession, although it would seem obsessive. I've been chasing ghosts since I was 6 years old.
Really?
Yeah. Well, it basically started with me getting kind of trapped inside of a old dilapidated house in Amberg, Germany. Me and my friends were playing around and we snuck into like this old abandoned house, but it was like all the windows had been nailed shut. The doors had been nailed shut and we snuck into the basement, but we couldn't get back out through the basement window because it was a drop to the floor. And so I spent an entire like afternoon and well into the evening in this haunted, house that truly, you know, did some psychological damage.
How could it not?
And, you know, I had night terrors and I was always afraid and I'm a very phobic person. And so it really became like this kind of fascination born out of pure terror. Anytime somebody would say something was haunted or I would hear about haunting, I started buying all the books and going to the library and reading about, you know, just disturbing things. I was like a little Wednesday Addams, you know, I was just always surrounded by the most dark and twisted stories, and they'd always find me in cemeteries, or you know, I'd go into the you know the do not go into part of the forest, and because I was honestly, what I was trying to do was I was trying to find ghosts to scare away the ghosts that I thought were chasing me.
Oh.
So I was always like trying to get in my childish logic, I was hoping that I would encounter something scarier than what I was afraid of to get rid of what I was afraid of. You know, I thought if I found something worse, then I would be relieved of the thing that was chasing me. I don't know why I didn't think that the thing that was worse would attack me. I always thought that would attack, you know, the ghost that I thought was following me. And it wasn't until I was like 10 years old that I learned the story of the house that I was actually trapped in. When I was told what happened in the house, which was actually a terrible, brutal murder, but then it was on top of that, it was like a heartbreaking story of murder.
Oh no!
When I was told that story, I stopped having night terrors. And
that's interesting. Once you learn the truth about it, that's when that stopped.
Once I learned the story, I was able to put it aside, and I was like, I think that's the trick. If you know the story, you know where the ghost belongs. The ghost belongs in the story. So ghost stories became my ghost trap. If I could find a story, and even if the story became my own, if it was only me having an experience and I could sum it up into this moment that is a story, then I knew, okay, well, I've experienced that. I've had this experience. I put it in its proper place, which is the ghost story. So I became a ghost story collector. I'd interview people, I'd question, you know, we'd get together, we'd talk about ghosts, we'd go out, we'd try to find ghost stories, we'd read all the ghost stories. You know, I always had like a fledgling gang of Ghostbusters with me. And
that's pretty adorable, actually.
Yeah, you know, we were military brats. So, you know, when you move a lot, you get to this place where you glom onto each other very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And like you find somebody that's even like halfway matches your vibe, and all of a sudden you're inseparable, but you know that it's temporary. So it becomes this kind of notion that we become very outgoing. We're very quick to talk. We don't mince words. We're not going to hem and haw. It's like, get to the point. This is the friendship. This is what it's based on. You know, are you in or are you out? And when they're in, they're all in. And so, yeah, that's kind of how we lived our lives.
And that just became a lifelong fascination then for you. It's something.
Absolutely.
I think that with a lot of people, most of us, because I grew up in a haunted house and I've had this interest in it my whole life, I think that you're drawn to it. Like maybe there's an answer, you're going to discover something, or there's something that's going to answer this question. And that's kind of what happened to you as a kid. But
oh, yeah,
you
absolutely.
Never and totally find the reason how and why. And that keeps you searching.
So early in, I have a podcast called Most Haunted City on Earth podcast. And within like the first two or three episodes, I had explained that ghosts are like heroin. That first hit gets you so high, and then you spend the rest of your life chasing that high. And then you spend the rest of your life trying to either replicate it or trying to explain it or trying to, you know, because you hear so often, especially with the advent of these ghost hunting television shows and everything, they're always very self-guarded about this idea that I had this experience and then I had to like basically try to validate the experience. I think that that's kind of what society has done to people who have profound experiences. They put them in a position where they have to prove that the experience was true or that it had significance. And so it becomes like this, I have to find ghosts to prove that that one experience of mine was in fact a validating and honest experience, which is kind of a dangerous reason to do it. You know, it's like,
mm-hmm.
if what you're really after is proof, then it's going to be a long haul for you. It's going to be a very difficult trail, because no matter how solid the proof you acquire is, you are going against an entire society's preconceived notions, and your proof will never be enough.
Right.
You know, your evidence will never be good enough to stem the tide of what is commonly accepted as the truth. And so I watch a lot of people kind of burn out on the notion that they have to find the truth, because they're sort of creating this wall of technology, all these, various devices, all of these things, because they think that there's going to be a moment where everybody will say, wow, you were right. Wow, ghosts exist. And there's that a famous quote that is, for those who do not believe, no evidence will be good enough. And for those who do, no evidence is necessary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's true.
We're never trying to win over the people who believe. We're never trying to just cater solely to those people. There's this whole idea that we have to convert people, like we're paranormal evangelicals. we're thumping the ghost books, hoping that somebody will acknowledge that we're not crazy, because that's the saddest statement that I hear. Always, almost every ghost story I collect from people starts with the phrase, you're going to think I'm crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I never tell anyone this because they'll think I'm crazy. And it's like, that's very sad, because these are obviously profound experiences that they feel ashamed to, share.
Yes, because they're thinking maybe I was having some mental health problems, or did it really happen to me?
Because our society has made it so that you could not express, wonder in the supernatural without the question of your sanity being tied in, whether substance abuse or instability or mm-hmm. anything of that nature. And it's sad, because these are spiritual events. These are, you are having a spiritual moment, and we're not allowed to examine them in any other way than the lens of, Western psychological science or Western science as a whole.
I talked to someone once, she's a psychic medium, and she grew up in a haunted house, and she said, it's not a matter of believing in it. It's a matter of I experienced it. It's not a belief. It's an experience that I had. And there's definitely a difference between believing something and experiencing it.
But yes, I think that's an excellent point.
I think when a skeptic experiences something, but they experience something they don't believe in. It's like, how do you sync those two things up? Well, and that's a problem for them.
That's a much larger conversation. Because I think then what we're really talking about is the fact that your belief does not determine the truth. Mm-hmm. It merely encapsulates your experience into a thought process, your belief. And that becomes this thing that, people draw borders around their beliefs. They draw these thick black lines that you can't cross. But in my belief structure, there's room for everyone's belief. There's room for everyone to be right. But the only way that works is if we accept how very potentially powerful the human mind is and how very potentially powerful the human soul is.
Mm.
We have to take some responsibility for the fact that the world around us is, in fact, a part of a shared belief structure. It operates by rules that we impose upon it, not because we observed it, but because we believe that this is the way it should be. And that creates so much strife, because people think that if someone believes differently than me, then they are lying.
And
their belief is a lie.
I am here to tell you, Chris, that is kind of general for everything in the world today.
Absolutely.
I
think it's become such a problem that we can't allow people to have their beliefs, because we imagine they infringe upon our beliefs.
Yes. Yes.
And I always say that if your belief is too weak to stand up to someone else's belief without destroying that other person's belief, then you really don't believe. Because you need everyone to support your belief in order for you to believe your belief. That should not be the case. It should never be the case that everyone has to agree that what I believe is true in order for it to be true to me. I have to live by whatever guidelines I can scrape by in my observation and in my experience. And it's bizarre, because when you really start to strip down all the stories of all the different legends and everything, because I love folklore. I'm a huge fan of world folklore and world belief structures and world belief systems and every culture. But then the fact that every single culture on the face of the earth has these similar
yes.
entities, similar dynamics, similar things, that's where you start to say, oh, you know what? We're arguing about semantics. You know, if the Europeans call it a vampire and the Malaysians call it a pokong, you know, what are we doing? These are the same creatures in essence, but because we call them different things, we've decided that one of them must be true and one of them must be false. You know, it's so bizarre. It's like knowing a guy named Philip, but in France they call him Philippe, and then saying, well, you know, he doesn't exist in France.
There's no Philips in France.
There's no Philip in France. And it's like, that's such a bizarre thing to say. You know, when he goes to France, he disappears.
Right.
And there's a Philippe. Right. It's like, no, give it some space. Let everybody have their beliefs, because their beliefs are what are protecting them in the dark of the night. It's what's soothing their fears, you know, because their beliefs also come with precautions and mm-hmm. with, you know, ways to combat the encroaching evil. And it's like, let them have it. Don't show up and say, well, you're doing it wrong. You don't bury the crystal at the front door. You need a, you know, iron horseshoe over the door. When you start to impose your faith and belief upon them, it's unsettling to any spiritual conversation you might have.
So true. So true. When you decided, or maybe there was just like kind of a little dream that one day you would have a paranormal museum, is that kind of how it all started in your mind? Or did you maybe start collecting items and then you were like, they've taken over my house, I need to have a museum?
Well, so, yeah, I would never say that I spent any of my life going, one day I'll have a paranormal museum.
It's a dream of mine.
And I personally would never collect items, but people brought me items. So, like, I just became the guy that people knew, you know, as the ghost guy. Oh, Chris knows what to do with this thing. And so people would like mail me things that they've gotten. And it's like, oh, this gives me the heebie-jeebies. Or, you know, I ran into all this bad luck because I had this item in my house. So I'm sending it to you. And I'm like, why? I don't want it. But my general rule for a haunted item, and this is, you know, across the board, if you have a haunted item that is causing you distress or trouble and you can't mitigate it, is to give it a proper burial.
That makes
sense.
So I
buried
a
great many things. And again, it speaks to how our beliefs work, because this is my general belief in the ritual of burying, you know, of funerals and funerary processes, is that we have to ritualize things in order to kind of cement them in our consciousness, in order to make them a part of our societal understanding and spiritual understanding. Mm-hmm. So that when we go through the actions of any ritual, we are just reinforcing something that even the spirits have to acknowledge, because they have been around it so long, because they have seen us doing this practice. So when you bury something, you're going through the ritual of severing it from the living. Of telling it that this is where it belongs. It's going in the ground. You're saying words that, you know, evoke the funeral sensation. You're trying to be as respectful as you can so that the spirits understand, just by example, you know, just by tens of thousands of years of example of funerals, that this is when the living say goodbye to the spiritual. And I do think that that helps and works and usually mitigates things. But there were items that were not troublesome per se, just fascinating, and I couldn't bring myself to bury them because they held this interest. But my wife will not allow haunted things in the house.
I get that.
So Megan is a big, like, nothing in the house, no ghost hunting in the house, no ghosting equipment in the house, none of it. So we had a shed that we just kind of put, when people would deposit or give me haunted things, we just kept it. So I have, you know, maybe between 15 to 20 items in the shed that I've acquired over years. And me and Megan have had lots of businesses. We're entrepreneurial at heart, and we just kind of enjoy doing creative things and being creative. We owned an improv comedy troupe for years. I owned a Shakespeare theater for years. We were I had worked in the theater for 30 years, and so there was plenty of like production and that mindset. I owned a ghost tour company for a while, and these things kind of put you in this prospect of like it's a great to work for yourself. There's few things as satisfying as creating a business and setting it forth and it being a success. Even if it's a failure, it's still a rewarding experience. And when we put our heads to it, we're like, what can we do given Savannah's very specific love of, haunted lore and haunted history? What could we offer? And we didn't want to give another ghost tour. There are hundreds of ghost tours in Savannah.
Oh, I bet. Yeah.
Walking tours, trolley tours. You can ride around in a hearse and get ghost stories. And so we didn't want to be competitive. We just wanted to be complimentary. We wanted something that if you went on a ghost tour, you might want to do this as well. If you were to, come to Savannah looking for something to do, a ghost tour takes up, 2 hours of your time. What else can you do in the town that has that? And at one time we thought of doing like a haunt, like an actual, you walk through haunted house thing where we would bring all of the ghost stories to life to give people more of a thrill
I like that idea
in
too.
that. We loved it, and we actually researched trying to get it up and done. The insurance on that kind of thing is kind of high, and then hiring haunters is kind of expensive. And the more we thought about it, it was like there's so many moving parts to that a museum is kind of a static version of that exact thing. It gives people a chance to be in close proximity to some very storied and frightening objects, gives them a chance to put their belief to the test. If you believe in ghosts and you're standing in front of something that is purportedly haunted and you're kind of, opening up your channels to the experience, you might find yourself with a stronger understanding of what you believe. And if you're a skeptic and you're standing in front of a storied haunted object and you don't feel anything, that also reinforces your belief. It also gives you a chance to exercise it in a way that isn't breaking into a haunted building at 3 o'clock in the morning or staying overnight in a cemetery. It gives you a safe place to like really examine what you think of haunted objects and haunted stories and ghost stories without the threat of, taking something home and finding out, oh, this antique I bought is, got a demon in it.
Whoops.
The classic story. We have at least three items that were like, I bought this at a thrift store, I bought this at, an antique shop, and then, my life went to hell. And you're like, oh, yeah, okay. We'll put it in. We invite we have there's some local psychics that we work with closely who help us evaluate the items, and then we'll do a number of different types of investigations around every item to try to get stories that are more concrete, so we can understand the items better and present them better.
Well, and I was going to ask about that because it's almost like, there's some things that kind of come with it. Is provenance the right word?
Provenance is the white word,
Thank
and that's
you.
something that we're always looking for. Yes.
So sometimes you can get that. It might be documented in some way. Other times it would be just people going, Chris, I brought this in my house. I'm getting bad vibes or weird things start happening. So it's really that person's word on it.
Absolutely.
And so that I think would be kind of hard to distinguish. And do you just say, we'll go ahead and take it. We're not picking up on that, so put that one in the back room. You know what I mean?
We actually do have so like we have the things that we have. The more provenance it has, the more prominence it has in our museum.
Oh, okay.
We do have like shelves that are just like these are things that just gave people oogie boogies, but we don't have a story about them. But we're constantly trying to establish stories through our own experiences. So, we will take different objects and isolate them and have sessions with them, do Estes methods with them, bring in people to kind of sit in proximity of them and take the stories that they tell us and start to build our own provenance, our own stories, if we don't have one that came to us. But in the end, there is a big part of this because it's the paranormal and because it also doesn't just deal with paranormal, it deals with superstition. It deals with, are we imposing our fears upon objects and giving them room? Are we talking about energies or entities? Are we talking about, the formerly living, or are we talking about non-human? And all those questions come up, and that is really what the museum is about more than anything else. More than, oh, these objects are all haunted. It's, oh, these objects are believed to be haunted. Because no matter how compelling the stories are, we're still in that weird phase of, that's what we were told, or this is what I experienced, because we've had experiences with certain items, but that doesn't validate it. That doesn't make it the truth. It makes it a truth. It makes it a truth of my experience, and as best as I can tell the next person, this is what I've experienced. So we're never really all that worried about even whether or not these stories are true, as much as we are worried about how are we presenting them? Are we giving people the opportunity to weigh for themselves, to say to themselves, I don't think this is haunted. I don't feel that there's any energy coming off of this. I'm reading this story and seeing, oh, wow, this doll sent someone to the hospital, but I'm not getting anything off of them. And that puts you in this wonderful place where, rather than sitting around a campfire and being enthralled by a gifted storyteller, it's your sensations, your feelings versus this thing that's present right there in front of you. And I think that that's a valuable experience to have.
You made me just think of something, because if you go into, and I'm using air quotes, haunted house, you've heard the stories, and it could be from people you really respect. It could be, any number of locations. You could be going to Trans-Allegheny.
Right.
And, some notoriously haunted location. And you might not pick up on anything, but you hear the stories. So it kind of, for me anyway, I'm really bad about this. If I've heard the stories, I kind of go in expecting it. So yeah. I have this weird energy myself when I walk in. But I would think with a haunted object, you would have the same thing. When I was a kid, that house I lived in had some serious paranormal activity. Not every single day. It never had a good energy about it. It's never like I walked in and was like, oh, it feels homey today, because it never did.
Right.
But it changed day to day. I would imagine a haunted object would be the same. Like, you might be picking up on stuff really strongly one day, and maybe another day you're not so much. Do you kind of find that?
Absolutely. That's, and on top of that, some people are not going to have the same energy friction with a piece. So like, some people can walk up to a piece and be like, oh, this piece makes you feel really weird. And then the next person comes up and says, I don't feel anything. And it's not because that person isn't sensitive or that the item isn't, exuding anything. It's because we're all attuned in different ways. We all have these, energy patterns around us. And I talk about this with antiques all the time. You take an antique that's been sitting in somebody's house for 30, 40 years, that house had an energy to it. It had a pattern of energy that when the family died or the antique was moved into an antique store and you bought it and brought it home, if your energy in your house is not the same as the energy that surrounded this antique for a long time, there could be friction. And that's not like a ghost. That's just that these two competing energies are causing a friction in your environment that you sense and that you feel, and it can become dread and it can become, dark, because it's just not complementary to each other. And that's the truth of all of it, is the idea that if a spirit can communicate, it must expend energy to do so. And if it expends its energy, does it have boundless energy, or does it need to rest every now and then? Or does it, are there times of day when it's more likely to speak because it has because it's keyed in to a certain time schedule? Or is it, the type of people around it that it can draw energy from? There are so many variables that we don't know or don't understand. But yeah, I do believe that there's it comes through in waves, that there are days when it's just almost unbearable to be in the museum because you get this kind of like heaviness and your head kind of spins and stuff. And then there are days that are completely light and you feel perfectly fine.
Because I would also think, too, exactly what you just described about bringing an item into a house and the energy's not really complementing, the other energy. I would think in a museum like yours, you would also have that with the items. But you've got a lot of items in there.
Exactly.
So I could think the energy kind of feeding off of each item could create a different kind of feeling daily, hourly sometimes.
Absolutely. And I think that you are touching upon a phenomenon that seems to be happening in the museum a lot. And another thing is that because we're kind of open about it and because we have all these items and because there's a lot of, you know, of just this kind of raw energy going on, I think that sometimes people show up and they have ghosts attached to them. You know, I think mm-hmm. people are more likely to be haunted than objects any day. You know, people are more likely to be haunted than houses any day. I think spirits see us as light and they want to attach to us. And it's not like a possession or a scary thing. I just think that we are lights in the dark and they gravitate towards us. And so oftentimes people will come through and they will get, you know, we offer them like a little spirit chat, which is a little box, the word bank that pops up words and
oh yeah.
Has all these kind of like the obelisk. And so many people will be like, oh my God, that's my father's name and he just passed. Or, oh my God, you know, a family member just died of liver cancer and this said liver cancer. You know, so there's all these connections. And I was like, yeah, I don't think that we're only dealing with the spirits that are attached to these items. I think there's an energy that allows for spirits to communicate because there's an openness. You know, there are a lot of open doors in the building. And so all of a sudden, people who are carrying their ghosts around are getting messages and are getting kind of like a communication and things like that are happening because it's amazing how many people come in and they'll like, you know, get the box or listen to the, you know, the spirit box, the radio that's going up and down. And they'll be like, oh gosh, I just heard, you know, my grandmother's name, or I just heard, you know, a friend's name. One of my favorites was somebody, we have a room where a spirit box is going. They had the spirit chat in their hand. The spirit chat said a name. They heard on the box somebody say call, and then their phone rang and they got a call from a person with the name.
Oh,
it literally happened one right after the other. It was this big thing, and they came running out of the room and they're like, oh my God, you know, because they had this experience. And I was like, that's amazing. And I can, you know, honestly say that could be just like the king daddy of all coincidences, but what we're offering, right? And what we're talking about the entire time, it's like, you know, I'm going to lean into the fact that that seems pretty insightfully a haunted, you know, experience, that you've had a supernatural experience.
And they're walking into the Savannah Paranormal Museum.
Right, so they're open, right.
Yes, it's like when you walk into Target, I'm not expecting anything at Target. I'm just, I'm focused. Today, I'm getting this, and this. Oh, and then you get distracted by that. When you walk into your museum, it's a totally different mindset.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
So it makes me kind of think that people are they're open walking into it. And so things can come through.
Well, you know, and it's funny because the way we have the museum laid out, the first room of the museum is actually paranormal history. So it's just kind of discussing like the oldest ghost story ever written and the oldest known depiction of a ghost and the Fox sisters and the mediumship of the 1800s and, you know, all these things that we kind of put in this room so that it's knocking at the door when you're in that room. It's giving you the idea.
No pun to the Fox sisters.
Well, you know,
knocking on the walls.
It's such a bizarre thing because you kind of have to say that it's always been easy to take advantage of the believers. It always has been. It always will be.
Yes.
You know,
they're vulnerable.
Always be, they're vulnerable and they want to believe. They want this to be true. And that gives you license to lead them in any direction you want. So it's one of those things where right off the bat, you got to say, hey, look, the mediums of the 1800s, they were, you know, pretty much all charlatans. It was a movement that preyed upon our deepest desires that we could go on and that we do go on and that those that we lost are still with us. You know, mm-hmm. all those things are beautiful notions, but when people are cashing in on it, you have to start to question, you know, what is the overarching truth? But that gives you, like I said, you know, a knocking at the door. And then we go into another room where we talk about the Savannah hauntings and why Savannah's so haunted and what that details. And that, you know, again, trying to push that door open a little more, because you have three rooms before you get to the artifacts room. And it's just giving you an opportunity to be more and more open to the idea, you know, just be more and more open to the fact that every culture on the face of the earth honors the tradition of ghost stories and honors the tradition of the paranormal, and every mythology on earth at one time was represented of a religion, of a deep belief system, of a deep belief structure. And if we just ignore the fact that people lived and died by those beliefs, we kind of lose the significance of those beliefs. So we try to give everyone an opportunity to know that, yeah, if you open yourself up, if you lead with an open mind, you may get much more out of this experience than somebody who walks in just to look at the stuff.
Yeah. It sets it up and explain, you know, some background, kind of fills in some background. And that wraps up part one of our conversation with Chris Soucy about the Savannah Paranormal Museum. For more information, visit their website at savannahparanormalmuseum.com. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, everything commercial free, become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts or go to patreon.com/thegravetalks. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thank you very much for listening.
Market District, we believe in the power of great taste. So here's a little taste of all the delicious possibilities. Juicy, hand-picked heirloom tomatoes. Seared certified Angus steak over aged cheddar mashed potatoes. Or how about fresh dough stretched by hand for every house-made pizza? Is your mouth watering yet? From produce to meats to chef-made meals, discover great taste at Market District.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
In today's world, planning ahead isn't always top of mind, but not having life insurance can leave families facing difficult financial uncertainty during already emotional times. In many cases, loved ones are left managing expenses, debts, or long-term obligations without a clear plan in place. Life insurance is one way to help provide financial security and support when it's needed most. That's where Ethos comes in. Ethos makes getting life insurance fast and easy, and it's 100% online. You can get a quote within seconds, apply in minutes, and even get same-day coverage. There's no medical exam. You just answer a few simple health questions online, and coverage options are flexible with up to $3 million available and some policies starting at around $30 a month. Ethos has also earned strong customer feedback with a 4.9 out of 5-star rating on Trustpilot based on more than 5,500 reviews as of August 2026. Help protect your family with life insurance through Ethos. Get your instant quote today at ethos.com. That's ethos.com. Application times and rates may vary.
Normally in these ads, you'd expect someone like me to ask you to buy something. But I want to ask you to do something different. I'm Dave Farenthold, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm an investigative reporter, which means that I follow the money, inside of government and outside of government. The point of my job is to find things people are trying to hide. It involves talking to lots of people. It involves looking through lots and lots of documents. And if there weren't folks like me to go beyond the surface to understand who is really shaping what the government does, The public will be left in the dark about what the government's doing with your tax money, what the government's doing to you through regulations and spending. If you're like me and you think this kind of journalism is important, seek out a news source that does firsthand, fact-based reporting. If that's the New York Times, thank you. If that's your local paper, that's great too, because where you get your information matters.
At Market District, we believe in the power of great taste, like juicy heirloom tomatoes, cheesy house-made pizza, and fresh artisan-made bread. From produce to meats to chef-made meals, discover great taste at Market District.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
At Market District, we believe in the power of great taste, like juicy heirloom tomatoes, cheesy house-made pizza, and fresh artisan-made bread. From produce to meats to chef-made meals, discover great taste at Market District.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
At Market District, we believe in the power of great taste. So here's a little taste of all the delicious possibilities. Juicy, hand-picked heirloom tomatoes. Seared certified Angus steak over aged cheddar mashed potatoes. Or how about fresh dough stretched by hand for every house-made pizza? Is your mouth watering yet? From produce to meats to chef-made meals, discover great taste at Market District.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
At Market District, we believe in the power of great taste, like juicy heirloom tomatoes, cheesy house-made pizza, and fresh artisan-made bread. From produce to meats to chef-made meals, discover great taste at Market District.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
At Market District, we believe in the power of great taste, like juicy heirloom tomatoes, cheesy house-made pizza, and fresh artisan-made bread. From produce to meats to chef-made meals, discover great taste at Market District.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
At Market District, we believe in the power of great taste, like juicy heirloom tomatoes, cheesy house-made pizza, and fresh artisan-made bread. From produce to meats to chef-made meals, discover great taste at Market District.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
This is Amy Brown from Feeling Things with Amy and Kat. Back to school season always feels like a fresh start, not just for kids, but for all of us. It's a great reminder to create new routines and find meaningful ways to connect with our family, friends, and community. Hasbro Games make it easy to gather around the table. Put the screens away, share some laughs, and create joyful memories together. Whether it's Monopoly, Connect Four, Guess Who, or another family favorite, there's something for everyone. You can find these and other Hasbro favorites at your local Walmart, walmart.com, or simply tap the link in today's show notes to bring more play into your week.
At Market District, we believe in the power of great taste. So here's a little taste of all the delicious possibilities. Juicy, hand-picked heirloom tomatoes. Seared certified Angus steak over aged cheddar mashed potatoes. Or how about fresh dough, stretched by hand for every house-made pizza? Is your mouth watering yet? From produce to meats to chef-made meals, discover great taste at Market District.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.